and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Probably the most fitting scriptures on a day like today be found in one of them in Job 38, verse 22. Have you entered into the treasure of the snow? Now that's the voice of God. It's the Lord talking about His greatness and grandeur and His might and His power to Job. And mentioning to him, have you entered the treasury of the snow? After all, snow is a treasure. I don't have all the facts and figures available, but I understand that agriculturists tell us that a snowfall is worth a tremendous amount of money to the lands, and that it provides nutrients, and it is the equivalent to a great amount of fertilizer that might be placed upon the soil. In other words, it's soil building, and it's doing it without the necessity of spreading the fertilizer and so forth, that it builds the soil. Now, that's one treasure of it. There are a lot of other treasures of the snow. It serves as a blanket. A lot of our sections of the country would not be as productive as they are, and would many of the plants would die if it were not for the covering of the snow. It's a blanket where underneath everything is protected from these sub-zero weather or temperatures that they wouldn't be without this blanket of the snow. And so it serves as insulation. It serves as a covering. It's a treasure in so many ways. And then we're told that usually whenever there's quite a bit of snow, that is an indication of a good crop year that year. Because of the moisture that goes into the soil that will be drawn from even in the summer months, when the weather's dry and things are hot, that this moisture's not lost, and that it is productive of a good crop year whenever there's snowfall. So I can see these three things that are clear and easily understandable to us in the treasure of the snow, serving as a soil builder in God's way of doing it. Man, of course, fertilizes and so forth to try to keep the soil built up, serving as an insulation, as a blanket for plant life that otherwise would be destroyed. And so the treasure of the snow, the moisture bringing about better crop conditions than otherwise would be. Probably there are a lot of other treasures of snow. I don't think any of us could exhaust all of them. But God Himself has told us that it is a treasure. On a day like today, some of us might come to the conclusion that we would have been just as happy, we think, if the Lord had not given us that treasure. But He did, because He knows that it's beneficial, because He knows that it's helpful for us. In Job 37, verse 9, He sends the cold from the north. And I'm sure that all of us knew that long before we knew that the book of Job told us that. And I don't know how many weather forecasters know that long, long time ago in the Word of God that He made that declaration that the cold comes from the north, and that the Lord says He sends it, as strange as that may seem. And then in Psalm 147, verse 17, Who can stand before His cold? Who can stand before His cold? Some of us today, I'm sure, have been wondering if maybe we were not among those who might find it rather unable or almost unable to stand before the cold of the Lord. But all of these scriptures point out to us that God is still in control. We've been able to send men to the moon, satellites to some of the distant planets, and some of them have been launched that have not reached their destination yet. Of planets that are millions and billions of miles away. To take pictures, photographs of those distant planets. Man has been able through his ingenuity to accomplish many, many things. But as intelligent as man is, he can make a machine that costs several thousand dollars and can take people various places. And I'm talking about the car, the automobile. But an item of this nature, an object of this nature, can be made immobile by just a little thin layer of ice. It can be powerless, even though it could take a person from coast to coast in comfort and such is made immobile so often with just a little thin layer of ice. And so man's been able to do so many things. And yet when weather conditions come as they do, I think it brings it back to us in a startling fashion that God still is in control of His universe. I think all of us know that, but sometimes people kind of get the idea or the view that maybe He isn't. That somehow man has come to the point that with all of these gadgets he's made, that he's in control. But I think today over a wide area of our nation, we come to realize that it is the Lord that sends the cold. It is the Lord that sends the treasure, the snow. And it is a treasure. And it is beneficial. Because everything that God does, He does in a good way. In the book of James, we're told that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow cast by His turning. Every good gift comes from God. And everything that God does is good. And at the moment, we may not understand it. We may not see why it is the cold wind blows and the snow falls. And that we're made so uncomfortable. We may not understand it. But let's believe God's Word and God's truth. That what God does is good. That every day that the Lord makes is good. We need to rejoice in it. And as in the beautiful psalm that was read earlier in this service, in Psalm 100, we are to come before the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. For it is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We need to make a joyful noise, as one translation translates it. Others a joyful shout, or others a joyful sound unto the Lord. Psalm 100 is telling us that we can and should and must render thanksgiving to the Lord. And we can do this in all areas, in all circumstances of life. And that we can know that whatever the Lord does is for our good and for our well-being. Some things we may not fully understand today, and we may not understand in life, but in the words of the song, we'll understand it better by and by. Some of the things that we don't understand now, we'll understand better by and by. But as in the words of the prayer a few moments earlier, we're thankful that everything is as well with us as it is. Every time I hear that expression, I think of an older couple who lived just down the road from where I grew up. I often visited this older couple because they were at home and they were lonely. And they loved me so dearly, and they just showered me with attention. They were so good to me. They just, I guess, sort of adopted me almost like a grandson. And they were so kind and so good. And I'd be at their home often, and they'd insist, and it didn't take a lot of insisting, I guess, that I just eat with them. And I remember Uncle John would always say, in giving the blessing for the food, "We're thankful that everything is as well with us as it is." Now, as I look back today, I think that, you know, that older couple didn't have very much of this world's goods. They lived in a house that was very meagerly furnished. It, by our today's standards, would not be thought of as a nice or lovely house in which to live. They didn't have it well furnished. They didn't have very much. Not very much at all of this world's goods. But he'd always pray that prayer, "We're thankful that everything is as well with us as it is." He went on to be with the Lord several years ago. He went out to draw. They didn't have running water in the house, and he'd gone out to draw from the well a bucket of water. But apparently had a heart attack, just died instantly. After his death, his wife wasn't a member of the church, but after his death, I guess probably through the loneliness of his loss and maybe a greater sense of need, the opportunity of baptizing her into Christ in the upper 80s, I suppose she was at that time. And she's gone on to be with the Lord. But I thought about Uncle John, as I called him, because some of us were taught years ago when someone was older, call them uncle or aunt. Didn't matter if they weren't related to you. Because of the difference of age, out of reverence and respect, you'd call someone uncle or aunt. And so many of us did that. That's how we were taught. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. And so that's why you term him as Uncle John. But thankful that everything is as well with us as it is. We've got a lot of blessings. A lot of wonderful blessings. Someone told me just before this service began, who walked from her home here, that she said she was praying every step of the way that she wouldn't fall. You know, a fall on conditions like on the outside can bring about a broken bone or a broken hip. And so I think I can understand the fact that she wanted to be here and yet she didn't want that broken bone praying all the way here. And I'm sure she wasn't the only one. I'm sure that others, the same way, even if we were in their vehicles, were still thinking in terms of a prayer that we'd keep going and everything would be well. But thankful that everything's as well with us as it is. Your marvelous audience, your dedication and your faith is commendable. And we're thankful for you, and I just somehow think that those who love the Lord enough and make the great sacrifice and effort that you have today ought to count double or triple. And maybe it does with God. Maybe it does with Him. But we're thankful you're here, and I know the Lord is honored that we love Him and that we've made this effort and this time to be here in this assembly. There should be those who are subject to the Lord's invitation. Then we would urge you to be responsive to it. If you've never obeyed the gospel, do so. Now, I know normally in situations like today, that most folks who brave the conditions are members of the Lord's family and active and faithful. And that's generally the case, but I remember a few years ago, one of the worst weather-wise services that we had ever had. Hardly anybody there. That one person, one man, responded to the invitation, was baptized into Christ, and this man serving as an elder today in the Lord's church. Wouldn't have expected any response on that occasion, but there was. So we never know. Then maybe there's one in this audience today who's never confessed Jesus, never repented of sin, never obeyed the gospel, never been baptized into Christ. If you haven't, it would be a marvelous occasion to do so. If you have obeyed the gospel, you've been unfaithful to your commitment to the Lord and need the prayers of God's people, we would urge you to come in repentance, seeking those prayers.